Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something proper nasty, but controlled, a roughneck jungle 808 tale, shaped for old-school D&B vibes inside Ableton Live 12. The idea here is simple. We want a low-end hit that feels deep, rude, and intentional, not a long wobbling bassline, not a muddy sub that swallows the break. We want a tale that lands, moves, and gets out of the way. That's the whole game. In jungle and old-school flavor D&B, this kind of 808 tail usually lives behind the drums rather than on top of them. It can act like a sub continuation after the kick, or like a rhythmic bass answer to the break. Either way, it's part punctuation, part pressure, part attitude. And if you get the control right, it can make the groove feel way meaner without filling up every gap with low-end soup. So first, load up a clean 808 style source into Simpler, or grab a kick with a strong low body that can be turned into a tail layer. Keep it on its own track, separate from your main kick and break. That separation matters, because you need to treat this sound like a rhythmic event, not just another bass patch. Before you tweak anything, decide what the tail's job actually is. Is it a short sub-extension after the kick, or is it a bass hit that answers the drums? That choice changes everything. If it's just supporting the kick, keep it tighter. If it's a phrase answer, you can let it breathe a little more. A good starting point is to keep the audible sustain somewhere around 120 to 300 milliseconds. Enough to feel weight, not so much that it drags the bar down. Now shape the envelope in Simpler so the sound behaves like hit then fall. Attack should be basically instant, maybe a tiny bit of softening if needed. Keep the release short, and trim the decay so the tail stops before the next big drum event. If the sample itself is too long, trim the start and end so you're working with the punch and the controlled falloff, not the whole blob. What to listen for here is really important. The note should hit hard, then disappear before the groove loses momentum. If the break suddenly feels slower once the tail comes in, the envelope is too long. Shorten it before doing anything else. In D&B, that kind of discipline is usually the fix. Next, tune the tail to the key of the track. This is one of those steps people rush, then wonder why the low end feels cheap. In jungle and old-school D&B, the wrong pitch can make the whole bottom end feel disconnected. Tune it carefully against the tonic, or sometimes the fifth if you want a slightly different flavor. Check how it sits against the kick's fundamental too. If the tail blooms too much in the mids, try dropping it an octave. If it disappears, bring it back and create more harmonics instead of just turning it up. Why this works in D&B is because the low end has to translate in mono, on clubs, on systems, and in dense break patterns. Pitch choice is not just musical, it's structural. It decides whether the tail feels like power or just clutter. Now let's give it some body. Put saturator after Simpler and start lightly. Around 2 to 6 dB of drive is often enough to make the tail read on smaller systems without just making it louder. Soft clip can help keep it contained if it starts to poke out too much. After that, use a EQ8 to clean up the shape. If there's mud, gently reduce a little around 80 to 140 Hz. If it needs more presence on smaller speakers, you can try a subtle lift around 180 to 300 Hz, but only if it doesn't turn boxy. What to listen for is this. The tail should feel more solid, not just more distorted. If you hear fuzz before you hear weight, the drive is probably too high or the sample is too bright. The goal is roughneck, not broken. At this point, you've got a choice. You can keep it clean and sub-focused, or you can dirty it up for more attitude. Clean is the smart move when the break is already busy and you want clarity. Dirty is great when you need menace, pressure, and a bit of that old-school rewind energy. If you want the dirty route, push saturator a bit harder, maybe add a touch of overdrive, and keep checking the result against the drums. But remember, more dirt is not automatically more powerful. Sometimes the toughest move is staying controlled. Now lock the tail into the drum pocket. Don't solo it and call it done. Put it against the kick and the break straight away. You can keep it right on the grid for a classic hard hit, or nudge it a few milliseconds late for a slightly lazier, more menacing feel. That tiny pocket shift can change the whole vibe. This is where a lot of the Reval groove lives. Listen to whether the snare still cracks properly after the tail lands. Listen to whether the kick still has its front edge. If the tail swallows the kick, shorten the envelope first. Usually that fixes the groove faster than just turning the level down. And here is a good habit. Once the pocket feels right, commit it. Consolidate it, freeze it, flatten it, print it to auto if you need to. Don't keep endlessly nudging the same tail every time you touch the drums. The best producers know when to stop tweaking and start arranging. Let's talk about motion now. A static tail can work, but a tale that evolves across phrases is way more useful in a real jungle arrangement. Automate saturate or drive, a little EQ movement, or volume changes across sections. For example, keep it cleaner in the intro, add a bit more drive in the first drop, then maybe make it dirtier or slightly louder for the second drop or a fill. That kind of progression makes the track feel alive without adding a bunch of extra notes. What to listen for here is movement, not obvious automation. If the listener hears the parameter change as a technical effect, it's probably too much. The point is for the section to feel like it's opening up or tightening down naturally. Now check mono. This is non-negotiable for this kind of sound. Put utility on the tail channel and make sure the sub-region stays centered. If you've got stereo texture, keep it above the low fundamental only. The bottom has to survive mono. That's not optional in DNB. If the tail sounds massive in headphones but collapses in mono, don't just add more bass. Usually the fix is less widening, cleaner EQ, or separating the sub from the texture. This is a great place to remember a simple rule. Keep the sub truth, and let a separate layer carry the texture lie. One clean layer for stability, one dirty layer for character. That's a classic move for darker DNB, because it gives you menace without wrecking translation. If you want that extra movement, duplicate the tail and build a second layer with the low end removed. High pass it, then use auto filter, a little saturator, maybe even a subtle chorus ensemble or phaser flanger if you want to warn. Ragged edge. Keep it restrained. This layer should add mood, not turn the sound into wobble cheese. The main sub should stay clean underneath. Another really strong trick is to treat the tail like a phrase tool, not just a one-shot. Use it sparingly in the intro, maybe every 4 or 8 bars as a warning sign. In the first drop, use it around fills or turnaround moments. In the breakdown, let it breathe or filter it for tension. In the second drop, make it shorter, dirtier, or more syncopated. That contrast is what keeps the track moving forward. You can also use the tail as a call and response with the snare. Put it after a snare hit, or at the end of a break fill, so it feels like the drums are answering themselves. That's one of the most old-school ways to use it, and it instantly makes the groove feel intentional. What to listen for now is whether the arrangement feels like it's leaning into the next phrase. If the tail makes the whole track feel flat, you're probably using too much of it. Sometimes removing one hit makes the next one feel twice as heavy. Negative space is part of the weapon here. Let's keep it practical with a simple workflow. Build one clean version and one dirtier version. Keep the main tail change short, maybe simpler, saturator, EQ8. If you need the extra layer, make that the separate process texture lane. Then test both versions against a chopped break. If the clean one works better in the first drop and the dirty one brings more danger in the second drop, you're on the right track. And don't forget the coach level rule, judge it in the full pocket. Solo can lie to you. A tail can sound enormous by itself and still ruin the break in context. Always check it with the kick, snare, and a drum loop before you call it finished. If the snare feels smaller, the tail is too long. If the kick loses its punch, shorten the tail before changing anything else. That's usually the fastest fix. Another small but powerful move is to check the sound at low monitoring volume. If the tail still reads clearly when the volume comes down, the harmonic structure is working. If it disappears completely, it might be too sub-only to survive real-world playback. In that case, don't just boost the bottom. Add a little harmonic content so it can speak on smaller systems too. So where do we stop? We stop when the tail is clearly audible but not dominant, the kick still has its front edge, the snare still hits with authority, mono playback feels stable, and you mute the tail and immediately miss the groove, not just the low-end volume. That's the sweet spot. That's when the tail is doing real musical work. Before you move on, here's the assignment. Build an 8-bar loop using 1-800-8 tail source. Make 2 versions, one clean, one dirty. Keep the sub mono. Use only stock Ableton devices. Place the tail in at least 2 different rhythmic spots, and make sure one version feels right for a first drop, while the other feels more suited to a second drop or a fill. If you want to level it up, make the first 4 bars cleaner and the last 4 bars more aggressive. Then listen in mono and ask yourself the real questions. Does the snare still crack? Does the kick still punch? And does the variation feel like progression rather than just more distortion? That's the whole point of this lesson. A Roughneck Jungle 808 tail is not just low frequency. It's controlled low-end punctuation. Shape it short. Tune it properly. Add harmonics with restraint. Keep the sub-mono. Place it with purpose. And let it make the whole groove feel more dangerous without ever getting in the way. Now go build it. Print a clean version, build a dirty one, and hear the difference in context. That's where the lesson really starts.